Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part two of God's Good Work. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. So we talked about the fact that God, in His great wisdom and in His amazing abilities, His power, and because of His love, how He's able to take the negatives. He's able to take even the worst circumstances that come into our lives. And ultimately, He's able to turn these things into something glorious. And we don't necessarily always see that in the present, but we ultimately will see it when everything's said and done. But we do, as we mentioned, we do get to see it oftentimes in the present as well. So as we go back and look at the verse once again, there are five things that Paul lists here about God's providence. That's what he's really talking about. God's providence refers to the way God rules over the universe, the way God rules over all of the affairs of men. And even though at times it seems like, you know, men are in control, sometimes it seems like wicked men are in control, but ultimately at the end of the day, God is still providentially in charge of everything. And that's what this verse reminds us of. And so we want to just take note of five things that are stated for us here in the verse. Number one, God is at work in our lives. You've heard that, of course. If you've become a Christian, you've experienced it, obviously. That's how you became a Christian, because God began to work in your life. He began to work upon your heart. He began to convict you of sin and ultimately brought you to a place where you would exercise your faith and receive Christ. But as you become a Christian, are you seeing the evidence of God working in your life? You ought to be seeing it, because He is at work. He's at work in the lives of His people. And this, to me, is one of the most exciting things about the Christian life, to observe God at work in the lives of His people, to see firsthand the Lord doing things that, you know, you look and you realize, you know, this is God. This is something that the Lord is doing. This is something that's beyond human explanation. And the wonderful reality is this is true for every one of us who are the called according to His purpose. God is at work in our lives. Now, sometimes it's blatantly clear. At other times, it's not as clear. We don't see it quite as clearly all the time, but this is what we need to know. God is always working. He's always at work. And even when we don't see it, know that he is at work. And at the appointed time, when the time is right, according to God's plan and purpose, he will bring everything together so as to confirm to you that yes, indeed, God has been at work. And so the Lord does these kinds of things. He's working in our lives. God is ceaselessly, energetically, purposefully active on our behalf, even when we can't see it. But thank God he gives us those occasions when it's all so clear. So God is at work in our lives. Secondly, God is at work for the good of his people. God is at work for the good of his people. The thing that God's doing in your life, whatever it might be, is for good ultimately. Now again, sometimes it's hard to see this, isn't it? Sometimes it's difficult. How is God working for good in this situation? Well, you know, right now we don't know. But remember what we talked about before. We know that God is working all things together for good. How do we know it? We know it by faith. We know it because of who God is. We know because of what he's already shown us. We know because of the track record and the history. So we must remember this. God is at work for the good of his people. He's at work for the good of his people. What God is doing in your life is good, and it's good for you, even though right now it might not seem that way. Now, as I've said before, there have been things in my life that I just looked at and thought, I don't see how this can be good. And, you know, let me clarify this. Not everything that comes along is good, and we look at it and go, okay, well, this must be a good thing because God said, you know, that everything's working together for good. No, there are plenty of bad things that come along. But the thing is, God is bigger than the bad things. He's greater than those things. And he's able to take even the bad things that come, and he's able to get us beyond that and do something even through those things. So God is at work in our lives. He is at work for the good of his people. He's doing something in you personally that is going to eternally benefit you. But he's doing something in you as well so that you might be a blessing to other people. You know, this is something we need to remember. The things that we go through are not simply for our own good or benefit, but the things we go through are designed by God to be a blessing and a benefit to other people. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies, who comforts us in all of our affliction, that we may be able to comfort others also." And Paul says, essentially, he says, you know, the reason we're able to minister to you and to comfort you and to encourage you and to help you through your trials is because we've been through them ourselves. And we know the comfort of God. So we can come along and say, listen, God is going to bring you comfort. He's going to bring you deliverance. He's going to bring you through this season. So God is at work in our lives. He's at work for the good of his people, you personally, people around you. But let me take it one step further. He's working in you for the good of his church. We belong to this universal body of Christ. It's an amazing thing how God works in us, and we don't even know what God is preparing us for. But, you know, as we just go on with him and as we follow him and as we walk with him, suddenly we find ourselves in a situation, we just go, wow, Lord, this is amazing. You're doing something good, and you're doing it for your people, not just me or the people immediately next to me, but you had these other people in mind as well. Amazing stuff. It's so obvious. But we don't see that a lot of times. We can't see far enough out ahead, and we're going through difficulties. We're going through times of dry spiritually, or we're not feeling like God's doing anything in our lives, or we can't see where he's taking us, and everything seems dim. But then suddenly you find yourself in a place and you're like, wow, this is amazing. This. And then you can look back and you can see all of this was preparatory for this time. And so God is at work for the good of his people. And then thirdly, God works for our good in all things. Now, again, I want to reiterate that point that I made a minute ago. All things aren't good. Let's not be mistaken about that. Bad things happen. Evil things happen. But here's the good news. God works despite these things. This is the greatness of our God. Like I said previously, God is able to take these things. Some things that happen to us are definitely bad things. But all that is negative in this life is seen to have a positive purpose in the execution of God's eternal plan. And here's the good news. Nothing is beyond the overruling, overriding scope of God's providence. And there's nothing beyond it. There's not one situation that's going to take God by surprise. There's not one case that's going to be too difficult for God to handle. There's not going to be one occurrence where God says, you know, I couldn't get that one to fit. You know, that was the one that stumped me. I just didn't know, how do I fit that into the overall picture of the good thing that I'm doing? There's not a thing like that. And again, I say that because I know that some of you, you're going through difficulties. You're going through hardship. I've talked to several ladies in this church over the years that have been abandoned by their husbands after 10, 20, 30 years of marriage. And mostly every one of them, amazingly, have held on to Jesus and onto their faith. But of course, they've all asked the question, how does this work together for good? I don't get it. Well, make no mistake about it, this isn't good. This is terrible. This is horrible. But God, he knows all of that. And he loves you so much. And he's got a plan, despite what that person might have done to you. And it happens to men as well as to women. And all of these kinds of things that happen, that are bad things. And sometimes we misunderstand, so we think, well, Lord, you know, how is this good? It's not good. It's bad. Then how is it going to work out? It's going to work out because God is good. And God is greater than these bad things. And God is able, in the end, to overrule and to override, because this is who he is. And like I said previously, this is where faith comes in. This is where I just have to say, okay, I can't see the blessing that will come despite this situation, but by faith, I believe that it will come. I believe that God will bless. I believe that God will restore. I believe that God will heal. I believe that God will comfort, and he does. And many could testify that that has indeed been the case. So, fourthly, God is working in all things for good, remember, for those who love him. This is a necessary clarification. And again, I pointed this out previously. Paul is not expressing a general, superficial optimism that everything tends to everybody's good in the end. This is a specific promise. This is the promise for the people of God. This is the promise for those who love God. You know, it's interesting. Most of the time in the Bible, we find references to God loving us. But on a few occasions, we find references the other direction, like we do right here, to those who love God. So who loves God? Well, the person who loves God, of course, is the person who's believed in the Son of God. That's how we show God that we love him. We accept his son. We receive the gift of salvation that he's given. So for those that have done that, God is working in all things for good for them, those who love God. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then know this. You are the recipient of this promise. This promise is given to you. It's not given to the world at large. It's not true for just anybody and everybody out there. It's true for you because you're a child of God. And just like it is in our own natural families, of course, although we might love other children and feel for them and have compassion and so forth, there's nothing like how we feel about our own children, right? And we don't show the love or, you know, make the efforts that we do for people in general, children in general. We do that specifically for our own kids. Well, this is the same thing. This is what God does for those who love him. He's taking those things. And so because we are his people, because we love him, we can, again, be confident in that. And then fifthly, we see here that God has called us with a purpose. There is a purpose behind all of this. Life for the believer is not a series of random events, but the working out of God's eternal purposes. You know, that's a kind of a common term that's used today, generally by younger people, but you know, wow, man, everything's so random, you know. And there are some seemingly random things that do occur, of course. But know this, there's nothing that's random. There's nothing that's just like, wow, that just happened. Not for us. Our life is not just a bunch of random events. Our lives are being guided according to God's purpose. So when something happens in our life, it's not random. It's not an accident. It's not something that just occurred. Wow. No, it's something that is part of this bigger plan. And of course, that's obviously true of those good things that happen. But even those not so good things, even those bad things. And we pointed out before, remember Joseph, all of those things that happened in his life that just seemed so bad, and they were bad. But God was using those things to bring Joseph to the place that he needed him to be at for the purpose that he had ordained him for, to save his family. I was talking to a friend the other day, and he was telling me about a series of events that took place in his ministry that were extremely negative events. And he was saying, man, this is amazing. You know, just all of a sudden, kind of the hammer came down and some bad things happened. And he, you know, some ministry that he'd been engaged in for years was just sort of pulled out from under him. And he said, you know, it was one of those things. It's like, man, how could there be anything positive that could come out of this? But he said, the crazy thing was immediately God brought something else in to replace it. And then the very thing that God brought in to replace it ended up being the foundation for an even greater ministry adventure that he would embark on later. And he said to me these very words. He goes, man, it was like a Romans 8:28 thing. So God has called us with a purpose. What are those purposes, or what is that purpose? Well, remember, ultimately, the purpose is to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's the ultimate purpose. And this is something that is so far beyond anything that we can grasp. This is the ultimate glorification. We're going to be made like the Son of God. I mean, I think if we even had the slightest idea what that meant, we probably couldn't be able to contain ourselves. We wouldn't be able to contain ourselves. We read it over that, you know, God is whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, the next verse, and like, oh, that's great. But if we really understood what that meant, but that's where it's all headed. And all of these things in life are leading us toward that. You see, as we've said before, these things that occur in this life are preparatory for the next life, which is the life that counts because it's forever. So, ultimately, to be conformed to the image of Christ, but presently, we are called to glorify him through a life of worship and service. So, working all things together for good, for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, the eternal purpose, conformity to the image of Christ, but the present purpose, a life of worship and service. That's our present purpose. And of course, that will play itself out in a variety of different ways in each of our lives individually. God calls us all to live lives of worship and service to Him. Worship is a life that's dedicated to Him, totally and completely. And of course, service is to flow from that. But God has a purpose. Purpose is so important. There's tons of people all around us today who have no idea what their purpose for living is. They don't have the slightest idea that there's any purpose to their life. They just are going about and it's purposelessness as far as they're concerned. And they're miserable and they're frustrated and they're empty. And they're wondering, man, isn't there something more to life? And the answer is yes, there's something more to life. There's God's purpose. The purpose of knowing Him, worshiping Him, serving Him. This is what gives life meaning. This is why people who don't know Christ live lives of emptiness. Because they were created to know God, to worship God, and to serve God, but they're not doing that. So their lives are empty. But this is what God has purposed us for presently, to glorify Him through lives of worship and service. You know what? Just a word of encouragement. Man, get involved in serving the Lord actively, specifically. If you're not doing something that you can say, yeah, you know, this is what I'm doing in service to the Lord, get yourself involved in something. Of course, pray about it. Ask the Lord to lead you and to open a door. He wants us serving Him. That's part of giving us purpose in our lives. It gives us a reason to get up in the morning. It gives us a reason to keep going through difficult times because we know, you know, I'm doing something for the Lord. I have a friend who's battled with illness for years, and he keeps going on in the ministry. And one time I asked him, why do you keep going? And then before he could even answer, I said, I know the answer. You don't even have to answer me. You keep going because it gives you purpose. And it's the thing that gives you the ability to get up and go when normally you wouldn't be able to get up and go. You think, you know, I'm going to go do this for the Lord, and it strengthens you. So God's called us with a purpose, and that purpose is serving Him. And so let me just remind you of this. Jesus is the ultimate example of the truth of Romans 8:28. We see this exemplified ultimately in Jesus Christ Himself. The most heinous, the most wicked act ever perpetrated by men and devils was the murder of the Son of God. That was the most evil thing that has ever occurred in the history of the human race. The murder of the Son of God. Yet, it was through that evil act that God provided atonement for the sins of the world and a way of salvation for all who would believe. So if you ever are strongly tempted to doubt the truth of Romans 8:28, we know that for those who love God, all things are working together for those who are called according to His purpose. If we're tempted to doubt that, go back to the cross and look at the cross. Peter says it in this way. He says, as he's speaking to the very men who crucified Jesus, he says, you took Him, and by wicked hands you crucified Him and you slew Him. But this was all according to the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. God knew they would do it, and God allowed them to do it, but He did it for the greater purpose of saving us. So when bad things happen to us, when evil things come our way, when unexplainable difficulties challenge us, and when we face things that we just can't understand, don't ask the question, how could this particular thing end up being a good thing? The thing itself is not a good thing. But God is good. And because God is good, and because He loves you, and because He's all wise and He's all powerful, He's able to take even those bad things, like those wicked men crucifying Christ, and He's able to bring the salvation of humanity out of that. He's able to bring something glorious out of your circumstance as well.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of Predestined to Glory. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled God's Good Work. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0144. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.